The soldiers, therefore, when they had crucified Jesus, took his outer garments and made four parts, a part for every soldier, and also the tunic. Now the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece. And they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to decide whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled." They divided my outer garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Therefore the soldiers did these things, but they were standing by the cross of Jesus, his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciples took her into his own household. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things had already been accomplished, in order that the scripture might be fulfilled, he said, "I am thirsty." A jar full of sour wine was standing by. So they put a sponge full of the sour wine upon a branch of hyssop and brought it up to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. The Jews therefore, because it was a day of preparation, so the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for it was the Sabbath, was a high day, asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man and the other man who was crucified with them. But coming to Jesus, when they saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear. And immediately there came out blood and water. And he who has seen has borne witness. And his witness is true. And he knows that he's telling the truth, so that you may also believe. For these things came to pass, that the scripture might be fulfilled, "Not a bone of him shall be broken." And again in other scriptures says, "They shall look on him whom they have pierced." And after these things, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but a secret one, for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate granted permission. And he came therefore and took away his body. And Nicodemus came also, who had first come to him by night, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds weight. And so they took the body of Jesus. And bound it in wrappings with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Now in that place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new tomb, in which no one had yet been laid. Therefore, on account of the Jewish day of preparation, because the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. Let's stand together as we look at this incredible scripture from Luke 24. I've been reading from John 19. John was a firsthand witness, and so we heard his witness this morning. I'd like to read from Luke 24, the first 9 verses. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, there came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling apparel. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still with you in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." And finally, verse 8, and they remembered his words. You may be seated within the word. They found the stone rolled away. It says there in verse 2 of Luke 24. The resurrection of Christ has happened. He's not a ghost. He's not ethereal. He's not dead. He's not a mist. Yes, the song goes, he's in my heart, and that's true, but he's actually also physically in heaven, alive, real, a body breathing, active in everyday life of the believer and the unbeliever. Active in the life of every believer and active in the life of every unbeliever. It says they did not find the body of Jesus. This is probably the greatest call to faith for you. Did he rise? Is he alive? Is he in heaven? Is he in your heart? Did Christ actually walk out of the tomb, or is it just a story? I pray everything in your heart says, yes, he's alive. He's alive. He rose. He's walked out of the grave. He is overcome death and its decay and its misery and its horror. This is a great call to faith. Jesus was a teacher, but that's not what he was ultimately. He was not ultimately a great teacher. He was the resurrection and the life. The resurrection and the life. Isaiah 45 verse 15 says, "Truly you are a God who hides himself." What an important phrase. What an important scripture for you. He hides himself. In other words, he's looking for you and I to believe his word, to walk in faith as the world does not, to be different, unique, special, set aside, faith-born beings. You must be born again. The Lord is looking for true disciples, men and women that live their lives on a spiritual plane. Do you believe in the resurrection? Every true believer, alive and dead, believes. Alive and dead believes. It says, secondly, two men suddenly stood near them. Two men. You know, these were angels, but they were in the form of men. They're not winged harp players, but they were in dazzling apparel, and they looked like men, but this dazzling apparel around them set them aside as unique. When I was younger, I was a mailman, and I was delivering mail, and one day I went to a house, and it was a house I hadn't been to before, and I went up on the stairs and tried to leave the mail, and around the corner came two Doberman pinschers growling and looking to kill. They were trying to protect their property, and I was on the porch of their house, and I remember them coming straight at me, these two Doberman pinschers, their mouths foaming and the teeth blaring, and they were barking insanely, and they were on a dead sprint. But between suddenly them and me, I saw two angels with swords raised. I saw it. It's one of the only times in my life I've ever seen such a thing. It's not happened every day of my life. This was completely unique. And these two dogs screeched to a halt, stopped barking, and just were frozen there in their tracks. Nothing between them and me but these two angelic beings. Again, the only time I've ever seen such a thing in my life. It says, suddenly they stood near them. This is a great theme of Scripture. Suddenly. It was dark and formless across the face of the deep. And suddenly God said, let there be light. And there was light. There had never been light before until he called it forth, let there be. And suddenly there was light. Jacob was asleep, and suddenly the heavens opened, and a great ladder from heaven to earth descended with angels on it. Suddenly. This is a great theme in Scripture. Turn with me, if you will, to Numbers, the 12th chapter. Numbers 12. This is in the Pentateuch, obviously. Numbers 12, and let's look at another story of what happened suddenly. This is a story about Moses and his brother, Aaron, and his sister, Miriam. Romans 12. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman whom he had married, for he'd married a Cushite woman. And they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us as well? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very humble, more than any man who is on the face of the earth. And suddenly, there it is, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron and Miriam, you three, come out of the tent of meeting. So the three of them came out. And then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood at the doorway of the tent. And he called Aaron and Miriam. And when they had both come forward, he said, now hear my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known to him in a vision. I shall speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my household, and with him I speak mouth to mouth, even openly and not in dark sayings. For he beholds the form of the Lord. Why were you not afraid to speak against my servant, against Moses? So the anger of the Lord burned against him, and he departed. And when the cloud had withdrawn from over the tent, behold, Miriam was leprous, as white as snow. As Aaron turned towards Miriam, behold, she was leprous. God will come suddenly, and he will speak, and he will suddenly judge. Mark 13, turn with me there. Mark 13, the Gospel of Mark. In Mark 13, verse 33, Jesus Christ said this, "Take heed, keep on the alert." I'm in Mark 13, 33. "For you do not know when the appointed time is. It is like a man away on a journey, upon leaving his house and putting his slaves in charge, assigning to each one his task, also commanded the doorkeeper to stay on the alert. Therefore," this is verse 35 of Mark 13, "therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, whether in the evening, at midnight, at cock crowing, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to all of you is, be on the alert." Suddenly, God moves. You say, "Well, it's been so long. Everything just goes on the same." Not true. Not true at all. It said back in Luke 24, we've been reading through this chapter in verse 5, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead?" Have you ever thought, and I think about this a lot, have you ever thought about how much the world recognizes the death of Jesus? Not his life, not his presence, not the open tomb, but his death. The emblems are everywhere of his death. I mean, think of it. The tattoos with the crucifix, the crosses, the jewelry, the pendants, the crucifixes are everywhere, and it means nothing. It means nothing. What about the open tomb? What about the resurrection? You're Christians, yes. You're a believer, yes. That's what should ring in your heart. Not the fact that he's dead, that he's on a cross, that he's done for, that it's over, celebrating the end. But it's, in fact, the opening of the tomb and the resurrection of the God-man, Jesus Christ. Suddenly, the very resurrection with its magnitude and its glory and its honor and its wonder has been traded for bunnies. Easter bunnies, Easter eggs. What about the resurrection? Come on. It says the women were terrified in verse 5. Were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. And by the way, the angels didn't say, no. Don't bow down. Don't be afraid. They let them be afraid. They let them bow their faces to the ground. What about your face? Where is the fear of God, I would say to this culture? Where is the fear and the hearing of the earthquake, the crackling of the stone seal as it breaks open the tomb? What about the dazzling angels? A statistic just came out, I'm sure you're aware of this, that of professing believers, this is professing supposedly born-again believers, only 19% believe in the full Trinity. That's horrible. This is professing Christians, but only 19% believe in the full magnitude or understand in any kind of way or even believe in a basic level that there is a God Trinity. Remember how he spoke to you is the third one. Remember how he spoke to you. Oh, to remember his word. As a tidal wave of information, tech advancement, social media hits everyone, will you remember his word? Listen, his word is the only thing that's going to hold you as this stuff comes roaring in on us, and it is coming very fast, much faster than I realize, much faster than you realize. I'll say it again. As a tidal wave of information, tech advancement, social media hits everyone, will you remember he who spoke to you? There's no anchor for your soul but Christ. There's no direction for your soul but the Spirit of God. There's no love and care for you except the Father in heaven. You're not going to find comfort from this world in any way. Will you remember his word? Let's go back to Luke 24 again. I like to read verses 7 and 8 again. It says, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified the third day. And they remembered his words. Say it with me. They remembered his words. I will remember his words. Come on. I will remember his words. Absolutely. Let me give you a test. Let's see how much of his word you even remember. You ready? The wages of sin is... That's Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. Remember his words. I came that they may have life. Absolutely. John 10:10. You must be born again is right. John 3:7. I am with you always. Matthew 28:20. Surely I come quickly. Come on. Surely I come quickly. Will you remember his words as this tidal wave of darkness and evil and control comes rushing at your mind and heart? They remembered his words. So where have we been today? Let me conclude. Everything in the believer, in his heart, in his mind, in his spirit is rising. If you don't feel the rising of the Spirit, catch hold of him because it's rising. It's not going down. It's not taking you downward to hell. It's causing you to rise towards heaven. Faith in our spirits rising heavenward. Listening to the great truth of the tomb of Christ rising. Expectant of the grave's dead upward calling, knowing the King is coming, realizing the trumpet is sounding and our resurrection is accomplishing. Our new bodies are forming. Eternity's joy is rising, ever rising. the resurrection, the rising.